morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We're here at KWAI 1080 AM on your radio. You can contact us at 524-1080 if you like to join in. Today we're going to have basically an open mic, and if anybody out there, I got several calls wanting to continue the talk on DLNR and a few other things and a few questions on rail, and I hope to today I'll go out on a limb here and hoping all things stay the same as and we can nothing develops, but we're going to have Panos Prevedoris next week. He has shared with us he has accepted an invite, so we hope to have that and get some of his views and on rail and other issues, and hopefully any of you out there willing needing to talk about it or have some opinions, listen in next week. Anyway, looking out over the mountains today, and once again I'm motivated to stay true and do what's right for Hawaii, and I beckon all of you to do the same. I read the papers and I hear the crime. I hear all of those things, the insensitivities to people and to the environment and all. And speaking of insensitivity, we just had a recent report of a turtle, a green turtle, sea turtle, that was killed out at Laniakea Beach. And anybody out there that think they'd have any information on this, please feel free to call me. I would be happy to receive that information and relay it if you don't want to get involved. And you can call me at my cell, my direct cell number. I will take that information and you can remain anonymous. But anything you can do to assist the authorities in capturing whoever it is that slaughtered and killed the green sea turtle there at Laniakea Beach out at Haleiwa. Now, there's a great value to these animals, both in the environment as well as what they do in the education and our understanding. And these animals basically, in these times, have come to trust us, and they haul out on the beach and sun themselves, and the thousands of tourists annually and the local people annually go by and appreciate them, and there's nothing like seeing a young child looking at this and seeing it, or seeing people that may never care about or ever interact with turtles to see this. And so if you out there, even if you're listening and you had something to do with it, please do the right thing and call us. Again, 782-6627. Now, speaking of animals, let's talk about, there's an old saying, let sleeping dogs lie. And I'm not going to get too much into this, but recently the city and county of Honolulu, the mayor Hanneman, announced that basically in his press release on that was sent out July 14th, former state directors firmly support rail transit. Now, that sounds good, and it, if you look at it at a glance. But you have to stop and take a gander at it and ask yourself and listen closely. Former state directors firmly support rail transit. That's arrogance. First of all, I don't recall any acts that I can say that others will pattern themselves after us here in the state of Hawaii for our traffic conditions. Who are these former directors? Well, I can say that they left their fingerprints and on the traffic, the poor traffic planning. Rod Haraga is amongst that group. This is the same director who had no better plans but to shut down the freeway because a crane hit a bridge and come to a stall and cost millions in revenue and time, hours and time, and what an inconvenience to the public, if you all remember that event. So it sort of pushes the panic button in me that if these guys are the guys that we're relying on, what is their expertise in rail other than to come back and say, this is a good old boys here and we did very well, and come on in and you can listen to these guys. The problem with that is, if you look back, think back, the Department of Transportation, if you all remember that great fraud case and the misspending and the misuse of government funds there at the airport, that's under the Department of Transportation. So are we applauding these people and bringing them aboard? Is Hanneman bringing them for that expertise, for being able to shield the money, hide the money, and give us poor management? When we look at what they really left us, we look at the poor traffic design. Nothing to do with rail. I don't know in their afterlife if they went to rail school or not, so I haven't seen any degrees from them or any documentation. But I'm assuming that upon retiring, they didn't go to rail college. They bring along the good old boy. I can bring in and I can convince the public for you on your behalf. But let's look at this. You got poor traffic flow designs. You got bottlenecks. Even on weekends, you have bottlenecks. You have slow traffic. These are the same directors that had a lot to do with the conditions today. So when we bring them out and march them out and they so eagerly sit there and applaud Hanneman, and he in turn promotes them and asks them to promote his project, brings in some big questions. They can't even get the basic traffic light timing. You take, for example, at city and the state, forget the rail issue, just the basic traffic light timing. The city says that they are timed, but no one who drives believe that. If you've driven like I have, you'll find that the lights could be changed and the timing could be set to assist, but our directors couldn't do that. If you look today, they just implemented this new plan with the zipper lane. Now, it was, you needed two people. And at that time, when two people were allowed, you can see very few cars, and you'd see stalls or slow traffic in the regular lanes. But they came up with this bright and ingenious idea to allow three people, or require three people. Now you see less cars, and here's an empty lane, and alongside you see more stalling and more bottlenecking and more jams and slow traffic in the regular lanes. So are these people bringing in this type of management to this $3 billion project? It's asking some big questions, and we all should ask. And if this is what we're going to rely on to accept this rail, then we need to ask those questions and maybe give Hanneman a strong statement. And when he comes, and now the funny part of this about this is that he now tells us he's going to go for governor. He'll stay with us for 2 years. Wow, that's pretty neat. That's a nice thing to know, that he is now willing to go at a higher office. But he hadn't mastered the lower office. Is it arrogance? Is it just disrespectful, or is it just egotistical? I don't know, but it sure reeks of some of all of the above that I've named. The freeway on and off ramps. Pearl City westbound during rush hours. If you've ever driven out there, it's a nightmare. And these directors were the predecessors who it is the results of their management. And they're going to bring to us the table now the new technology of rail. They didn't master the old one, the basic ones. And they left us with poor road conditions, potholes, poor designs, where it should be straight, it's curvy, where it should be a grade lower or no hill. It's just absolutely crazy. So anyway, I'm hoping that we all use our senses, and just as we use our signal lights, we should signal to this mirror that we don't want, it's not just the rail, it's the nonsense, and it's how you're approaching us with this. You come back and you tell us, well, you've already spent money, so therefore we should go along and get along. That's just illogical. And then you go and you bring people that failed, that left us with a mess in traffic. Forget the rail. It's not here. And then you leave us with that, and then you march these guys in and say, they're going to be your advisors. Well, that's just not going to cut it. Anyway, again, you can give us a call if you're interested. This is an open mic today. CarolCox.com is our website, and you can pick this up on the internet at CarolCox.com. That's CarolCox.com. We're going to take a break here for a minute and regroup, and I'm going to be chatting about picking up where we left off on the Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Okay. Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the Northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit!
Like a million silver teardrops in the sky. And down the road from Napo, the ancient kings still dwell. I can see them riding high on an ocean swell. Rise up and follow me, sons of Hawaii. Rise up and follow me, don't let me down. Taro fields are gone now. From the southern corner hills, and the eyes of all the old ones hold a tear. In the shadows of their memories, they recall the brighter days. But the southern land they loved has slipped away. Rise up and follow me, sons of Hawaii. Rise up and follow me, don't let me down. Thank you. and follow me. Don't let me down. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go, and we must find a way to hold on to what's left of Hawaii. And I see them in the sky. People, can't you hear the alii cry? Rise up and follow me. Sun's on Hawaii. Rise up and follow me. Don't let me down.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Today we are going to pick up from where we left last week on the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. In particular, the Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. And I didn't get as the points that I had wanted to talk about, but I received about 40 calls over the last week. From officers and the general public sharing their experiences with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And I promised them that I would, in fact, come back and talk more about it, because apparently it's bigger than I had imagined or have knowledge of the dysfunctionality of it. And a lot of the people were simply complaining. About nine of the calls were specific in that they would call in a complaint to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DOCARE, and would never receive any response. No officer would respond. And so I called around and asked some of the officers what would be some of the reasoning. Now, let me qualify something. When I say I call the officers, and clearly some of them, they want to remain anonymous, because what is happening is the climate there in DLNR is that if you call to talk to the public relations person, she's reluctant to talk, and unless you're going to say that they're the greatest thing on this earth, then you're not going to get any cooperation. If you call the chairman, she'll call you back, but she gives you the same thing and pass the buck down to the lower rankings, which then you get caught in the quagmire. So I've always said to them, I'll ask once, and if you treat me wrong in my original request, don't expect me to come back and ask again. So they're not here, and if they would like to, they can call in, or they are welcome to come to the show and offer their side of it, so to speak. But anyway, the public was informing me that they would call in and would never see a game warden. Never. They would not even receive a response back. So I asked around within house, and what is happening is that there's no real officer per se manning the phones. There's an answering service after hours, as I said last week. But what happens is that they get the call and the answering service answers it. And if the answering service thinks it's an emergency or what have you, they will, in turn, or in general, as I'm told, will forward that to the deputy of DOCARE. And he, in turn, sits and determines if that that complaint goes forward. But the problem is, apparently, at his discretion, or if he chose not to, and then there is nobody working on at nighttime, and so they don't want to pay the overtime. Come 11 o'clock-ish, 11 p.m., 11:30, the officers go home and go to bed. And as I've said last week, the resources are left to themselves. Here, case in point is this turtle. You can't be everywhere, every place, all the time. But this turtle, for example, out there, you know, Lonnie Kale is, the turtles are there, and there's always a threat that someone is going to poach or kill the animal. So you would think all they have to do is wait until 12 o'clock, and they had from 12 to 6 or 12 to 8 a.m. to wreak havoc on the resources. The DLNR, Department of Conservation and Enforcement, Resource Enforcement, there's a problem. And it starts at the top of the enforcement chief. The type of training that he has is very little to none in law enforcement. Absolutely, just completely void, per se. Now, he may have attended some seminars or training, but he didn't have the experience and the expertise in law enforcement. And what that means is that the agency is saying that we really don't care about the resources. It's a bold statement. We don't care about the resources, so we will put the top law enforcement head in that position and in turn equip him with no training and don't make it a requirement to have training. So if he has no law enforcement training and no understanding of law enforcement, then you put him in top management. What are you going to get? So when the public calls in, the other thing is that you got to have compassion and understanding and having the desire and the willingness to be a game warden and understand the environmental needs and understand ecosystems and biological and the biomasses and the various niches these animals are found in. If you don't understand those basics, you're likely to object when your officers are out there wanting to work in the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock hours. So you first become concerned with, I don't want to pay overtime. So what happens is that it's dismissed. So the real purpose, the legislators set up this agency, they man it, they give them the enforcement authority, and then in turn it's squandered. And so when we see directors and we see chairmen being appointed, these are the things that they should. And it's just not happening. Not at all. It's simply impossible. So when an officer is out there, do respond, or stuck out in the boonies by himself or herself, maybe they have radio contact, maybe they don't. But I'm told they use their personal cell phones when it really push come to shove, when they find themselves in a bind. I don't know about you, but in today's world, people avoid to do things to evade arrest. So if you commit a crime in Los Angeles, you flee here, you go out and hang out on the beach, you live homeless or what have you, and you do your thing, and you're avoiding staying under the radar. Along comes the DOCARE officer, and not knowing that this is a felon on the run, and it's been shown that some of these officers have come in contact with fleeing felons or escapees or what have you, and they're drug dealers. And a lot of in the old days, or sometimes now in the rural areas, there's drug houses and manufacturing plants or whatever. And this officer walks up. They find themselves alone in the dark, by themselves. Who do they call? Well, they can use their cell phone, but it's their personal cell phone. They can use their radio, possibly. But here's the problem. If they use their radio, they might get some reaction or response, but who are they calling? They're not calling another officer. They are calling the Honolulu Police Department or some other agency. And as I've said before, the Honolulu Police Department is already taxed with lack of resources and needing new monies and new equipment and manpower. And we're going to tax them, their system, their resources, to do what the legislators have legislated and budgeted for DoCare, and yet nothing happens. So what happens to that money if they're not spending it on radios and they're not spending it on cell phones or other good connection or good communicative systems? What are they spending this money on? Is it being squandered? Is it being spent on other projects that are unrelated to law enforcement? Boats are in disrepair. But in regards to the radios, so let's say the officer is able to get out or hit a repeater and get out and connect. He, just an innocent stop of checking someone's fishing license or checking their camping permit or something, some innocuous activity. That officer takes your information, and to do an NCIC check or check, background check, they read your Social Security number out over the airwaves. Now, in this day and age where there's identity theft and all of that, you would think that the Honolulu Police Department was successful and went to a digital system. Why then is the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement officers still stuck in the age of the dinosaur, so to speak, when it comes to communication? And why then is not the chairman, Thielen, not making it a priority to come up with new systems, or come up with systems that, one, protect the public, two, protect the officer? Because it is the responsibility and concerns of our legislators and the people of the state. We love our environment, and this is not something that should be taken lightly. But apparently the statement being made here by having a chief who has little or no experience in law enforcement, and then having a chief who in turn haven't demonstrated that he has incorporated or adopted the concerns or has a compassion for the environment, which is a critical element. You got to either love your job to do it right, or you could just go through the motions. And I would say most of it is going through the motions. Now, most agencies in today's time have academies. These academies are built so that you can train the officers to observe the Constitution, to enforce the law, to protect, serve, and do all of those things. But if you don't have an academy, where do you draw your people from if you then require them to have 1 year experience or 2 year experience in law enforcement? So you're going to get what some of the officers say, and this is not me saying this, some of the officers within house of DoCare say that what you're getting is second chances. And that's, as they describe it, is that the second chances that come aboard either were about to be kicked out of the agency from where they worked or were met with some issues, and they in turn go and get a job with DoCare. Or they get favoritism. Or they may work with an agency and they see this as a simple effort to get more pay from a lower state level job to a higher state. But what happens is that, what type of training, even if they are selected, what type of training do they really get after they come on board? Do they get species identification? Well, I was told, again, I didn't do a survey, and DLNR and DoCare, if you're out there, bring forward the guys, but I'm going to make this statement and share with what I receive from the officers that are working, that they, in fact, know that maybe three out of the four officers that are working do not know the seven species of the bottom fish that are on the protected list or the closed list. So that is important. So how do you enforce a law when you don't know the species? And that is important. just like conducting a search warrant. If you get the wrong address and put it on the search warrant, search the wrong house, you violated someone's right, and you also failed to do your job. So how do we guard against this? Well, you guard against this by requiring and having an agency that has an academy. You try to get them certified of post-police officer standards training or some type of training. And then once you get the basics on laws of search and seizure, laws of evidence, and all of that, you need all of that just to building the basic foundation of an officer. Being that these are conservation and resource enforcement officers, you then should have a class, at least a week, 2 weeks, of species identification, talking about the biological needs of certain animals or what have you, and methods of fishing, methods of hunting, and all of those things, so that when an officer arrives at a scene, when he's dispatched there, he has some understanding of what is occurring, rather than this manner in which we have allowed the DLNR to develop and the dope care officers, and that is, here's a gun, here's a badge, go get them. But now, you got to be careful, because you really don't know who to get, because there's a standing order within the agency. Certain things are not to be enforced, and that if you do take upon yourself to do your job, you'll be chastised. I'm informed that some possible 15 complaints are filed now by the union, and I don't have any written documentation on this, but this was within the house against the agency, and in particular some of them were against the practices that the DOE Care chief is employing. So these are real serious issues. And so when we're told that we have named Laura Phelan to become the chairman or chairwoman of this agency, we have to ask her now, what are you doing? We don't mean the meetings, the public hearings. I mean the mechanics of the agency. What are you really, really doing? This Department of Conservation and Resources Enforcement, the boating issues, they lost a great grant from the Coast Guard because they weren't fulfilling the conditions of the grant. But forget the grant. It's their requirement anyway. It is the mandate that they protect the marine resources. So it wouldn't and shouldn't require them to go out and get grants. But when they do get grants and then lose it, let's say that they fail both. They fail the people in protecting the marine resources, and they fail to comply with the conditions of a million-dollar grant. So there are some very serious, serious issues in this area. And some of the other things, just internally, the agency, there is two officers that I know of. Now, you got to pay close attention to this, and I think some of you out there would love to have this deal, too. What is being tolerated and has been tolerated for several years is that there are two officers who work for the federal government as enforcement officers, and they work at the same time simultaneously as Department of Conservation and enforcement officers. How is it possible that within a 24-hour day that the agency officers only work from about 8 o'clock till about 11:30, and then you hold down a full job, a 40-hour job, at a federal agency in law enforcement? Where is the conflict? Why is that permitted? Why does the agency allow that? The agency turns its head, and there should be issues and concerns of conflict here. So these are the types of things that when one touts themselves as being the director or the chairperson or the chairwoman, that she's going to do these things and she's doing a great job. These are the mechanics of some things that speaks to the integrity of the work product. And if any of that is absent, you have a problem. And I'm here to tell you, you have a big problem. But to make it worse and add an insult to injury, we had Tim Johns. He was the chairman for the DLNR. He's now a board member, land board member. These things were occurring under his watch as well. He, in fact, appointed the director of law enforcement, or the chief of law enforcement. So this is a big circle of friends, or big circle of incompetence, or big circle of people who have their own desires and they're attending to their own needs and issues and leaving the public's issues and concerns hanging. And it is just simply wrong. I'm going to go to a break, and if you'd like to call in, 524-1080. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the Northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're having a discussion, or talking about the Department of Land and Natural Resources and DOCARE, our Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. Just glean a bit of information from the DLNR website. And it states, the Department of Land and Natural Resources is dedicated to managing Hawaii's natural and cultural resources and is equipped with several divisions with various jurisdictions. Now, that sounds great, and this is the problem with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. They have one of the greatest responsibilities that any agency in the state has. And yet, it's all fluff. They come in, they march in, they get appointed, the chairmans or the chairperson or chairwoman, they get appointed and have about the most shallowest of understandings for anything when it comes to the environment. They are political hacks. They get put in and they have certain missions and they stand and they say, we're succeeding and we're managing this. And if you were to just turn one page, and you don't have to look further, one simple page, you can begin to see the dysfunctionality. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure any of this out. How do you hire officers that you give them a gun and you don't send them to an academy? How do you have as much area, water area, surface water area, and you might have a boat that work when it's your responsibility to enforce, and it's your responsibility, and you even go out and encourage the rewriting of laws to, quote, protect species? Either it is a ruse or someone is getting away with the loot, because when you change laws and you get legislation and all of those things, money comes with that. When you wave in the newspapers and TV that you're doing a great job and so much money has been allocated, what is happening to that money? Now, I'm even told that if you were to look at just the basic first aid training of the officers in the DOE Care, it's lacking. Most of them, I'm told, don't have first aid training. Now, we talk about animals and we talk about fish and other things and the enforcement, but show you how serious of a problem this is. We all recall the Sacred Falls incident. Now, Sacred Falls brought some sad and tragic event in that we had the landslide and people lost their lives. The first responders were DOE Care, or DOE Care officers. And I'm told that some of these officers were there digging with their bare hands because they've not been equipped or have any equipment to help in the rescue. These officers, when the HPD and the fire department felt that it was unsafe and what have you, and it was their determination, some of these officers were still ordered to be there and were still working there, digging with their bare hands. And the problem is, I'm told that by the officers, that none of them received any counseling, or grief counseling, we'll call it, from that incident. Now, HPD and the fire department, I'm told, shared, allowed them to come to some of their debriefing or grief handling or sessions. But the Department of Conservation and Resources Enforcement, or DLNR, to this date has provided no counseling. So now, if you can imagine, there were people that lost body parts, limbs and arms and legs and what have, and some lost their lives. But these officers were up there, and they describe it. They were digging with their bare hands, trying to recover and aid and assist the public that had been impacted by that. So what does that do? What does that say about an agency who has this great responsibility and yet won't buy the basic equipment? Folks, I can only say to you that if you think that this is irrelevant, and if you think that this has nothing to do with politics, these are the types of questions, and I'm tasking myself to talk about this. It's such a dry and sad subject, but to share with you that this is about smart voting. When I talk to you about voting and being smart in your voting, ask the candidates, what are you really going to do? We know about the brochures, and we know about the posters, and we know about the commercials that you put. But what are you really going to do for the real hardcore mechanics, the nuts and bolts of getting your job done, past the brochures, past the flyers and pamphlets? What are you really going to do? What is the status of the officers? These are the types of things that should be asked. Now, when it comes to the marine resources and the enforcement, now I'm told within the agency simply doesn't have a chart, a navigation chart. They have maps. So if you don't have charts, and if you don't have people that can read charts, and they do have some retired Coast Guard or people that are really experienced in boating, but they're not giving them the resources to train. They don't have the resources or dedicated to these things. So I have personally worked on patrol boats, and it's a very dangerous situation. It should never be taken lightly, because when you're boarding a boat, you could lose your life, you could fall and slip, or you have to arrest someone. You have to have strict precautions when you're arresting someone at sea. You don't want to put a life jacket on them and handcuffs. Or what is your policy? What is the state's policy or the DLNR's policy? There really aren't any. Do they have a shooting policy? I'm told they don't have a shooting policy, but what they have is a policy on you have to train to shoot. But what happens if you're shooting? Now, this might sound that I'm nitpicking, but when you take the totality of these things and you add them up, what you're doing at minimum, you're exposing the public to an unprofessional, untrained, unskilled entity that has the full law enforcement responsibility. They have the same authority that the Honolulu Police Department has, they have the FBI or anyone, to enforce laws of the state. And some of them are deputized to enforce laws of the nation. So if you have this, what is the chance of your constitutional rights, the public's rights, being jeopardized if these officers are not trained in the laws of search and seizure, the laws of the constitutional rights of others? What happens? So what you have is the potential for crime. You have the potential for officers working with no training, no standards, and some of them say they, for example, they don't like the blue uniform because it takes them and make them look like the policemen. And so when they come up, they have on occasion had to debate with the public that you can't check me because you're Honolulu Police Department. Only the game wardens can check me for fishing or what have you. So just in that kind of, and you create a situation where some have said they've had to actually call for backup because the people didn't believe that they were officers or had the right to enforce. So they have the auto defibrillators, and then there's waste in their agency or in this division. For example, I'm told that the defibrillators that they have, they purchase several, and maybe one is being used. Where are the others? They had safety suits for contaminants, responding to contaminants. These suits have expired and were never used, placed in a closet. But this is the waste of thousands and thousands of dollars. And we have a situation where they bought computers. The legislators gave computers to assist in laptops, to assist the officer in the field. I'm told there was no training for those, and they've not been placed in the system. So this is the type of things that we talk about. And we talked last week about drunk driving or boating under the influence. Again, I must reiterate that I got a call on the line here. Let me get to John. Hello, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, you sound very knowledgeable about police activities. I listen to your program every Sunday. Where did you get your experience from, in Honolulu or where?
No, I was a former special agent with the Department of Interior and a game warden.
No, I hear you.
I was a special agent with the Department
of... I'll get you off the air. I can't get you through on this phone here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, my background is natural resources management, former special agent with the Department of Interior, and a game warden for California. And that is, but also having a relationship, and I also have an organization, EnviroWatch, that we are constantly trying to stay on top of environmental issues. And so even our little resources are taxed because of what the agencies who get millions do little or nothing. And I would say we get more calls than they do when it comes to the illegal dumping and what have you. But again, I've tossed a lot of things out there. But the big issue is this agency is not being managed properly. And there are other agencies within the divisions within this agency, the DLNR. So what we have to do is be ever so vigilant and hope for the best and vote for the best. But anyway, the coming show will be the Hawaii Bulletin Board with Calvin Griffin. And this is a Carol Cox Show. Again, you can pick up the show on podcast at carolcox.com. Aloha.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep 7, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep 7 fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.